walk us through like some of the basic offerings Bazaar Voice has. What are your main offerings, your clients, that type of thing?
Yep. So Bazaar Voice has been around since 2006, and the first suite of offerings that we started with was what we call our Conversations platform. And so that's a set of applications and a platform that enables conversations. It could be ratings and reviews. It could be questions and answers. It could be storytelling. And what we do is we basically create those conversations on brands' websites, on retailers' websites. We syndicate those across a really, really vast network. So if you are the Pampers brand and you go to pampers.com and you're having a conversation about diapers or questions about diapers, that then gets syndicated across multiple other places. So it could be Walgreens.com, Walmart.com, diapers.com. And what's fantastic about that is what we've always known, the reason that the company started is that word of mouth is more effective than any other marketing content that can be written out there. Because people just fundamentally don't trust brands. And so if they look and say, somebody else is saying this about a product, they really do feel a lot better about it. So Conversations was the first suite of products. And what we found when we launched it was typically online conversion and sales would increase a range of between 30 and 200%.
Wow.
Just by having content. It didn't even actually matter if it was all 4-star, 5-star. We've had a lot of examples actually where it's actually negative content and conversion has still gone up. And we've done some analyzing around that. What we believe that that does is it helps set expectations. So maybe you would read something and say, I bought this remote control plane and you know what? It wasn't that great. It broke after 12 months. Well, I could be looking at it and saying, well, it's a $20 remote control plane.
Yeah,
12 months is perfectly fine for me. I'm happy to buy that.
Yeah.
So what we found is just the presence of conversation, the presence of feedback helps sales really no matter what's said.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved on, and what we were recognizing was this powerful data that was coming out of all these conversations. There are literally billions of conversations happening every single year. And what we found was this data that was very, very structured. It was aligned to products and aligned to categories, was incredibly rich. And so you could start analyzing the data and figuring out what it was saying to you that you might otherwise not know. So you could have a situation, actually, I'll use L.L. Bean as an example. They had a particular sweater was doing really well. They were selling a lot of it, but they were starting to read the reviews, and what people were writing is, I love this sweater so much. I wish you'd make it in green. I wish you'd make it in purple.
Yeah.
So L.L. Bean is looking and reading and taking all this insight, and then they thought, well, we should make it in green and purple. They make it in green and purple, and the sales doubled on the sweaters. So even in a situation where you'd look and you'd say, my product's doing really well, you can oftentimes find really great insights that help you do better. We often say that the most powerful review is a 4-star review, because what happens is people typically say, I would have given it 5 stars, but
... Yeah.
And if you bother actually listening to all that and understanding what's important, you're going to create what people really want. So the data that was flowing through all of our systems and all of our client systems, we started just recognizing how powerful that was. So we created last year an application called Intelligence. And what the Intelligence application suite does, it actually has both customer-centric and product-centric data around all that they're doing across your brand, across your site, across rest of web, across multiple sites. And so the richness that we've been finding our clients are getting at it is crazy. Cabela's is a great example. Do you know Cabela's?
Yes.
Of course you do. You're from Alabama.
Yeah.
So Cabela's, what they've done with our Intelligence product, they were one of our beta clients. They merged it with all of their CRM segmentation data.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this incredible richness around what people were saying, what their transactional data was, and then what their segmentation was. It enabled them actually to figure out how to take CRM and bring it to life and make real-time actions out of it, which normally you don't do. CRM's like way, way back in the corner. It's also just taught them so much about their products and their services and how they can make it better and what segments, like which one, what their issues were, where their opportunities were. So Intelligence is something we're very, very excited about, and we're seeing a lot of clients start to get excited.
I'm curious, whenever you talk to clients and you tell them, give them sort of a 30,000 foot view of this is what we could do for you, especially when it comes to empowering customers, giving them the ability to review products, or when they push back and they say, no, we don't want to do that, what are some of the common objections or reasons they give why?
You know, it used to be back in the day that people were really afraid of what customers were going to say. And I think that is such an easy argument to solve against right now, because it's like, well, hold on a second. Have you Googled your brand lately?
Yeah.
And so whether or not you're involved in the conversation or not, it's very clear that your customers are talking. And so the best thing for you to do is actually figure out how to be a part of it and drive value out of it, learn from it, and then transform your organization around it. So
right.
The idea that you may not like what you hear, I think because of the pervasiveness of all things social right now, that typically is something that's very, very easy to solve for now. The second thing is usually one that's a more real problem is, well, what am I going to do when I find all this information out?
Yeah.
And that's where I usually use my example coming from Dell and explaining how at Dell what happened was these trigger-based systems on when a client or when a customer provides this kind of feedback, this is where it goes, and this is who sees it, and this is what we do with the reports, and this is how we actually compensate people based on what's happening.
Yeah.
So figuring out that whole infrastructure of how the data flows and what people do with it is typically the thing that our clients would be reserved about. Like, I want to make sure this is really valuable. How do I go do that? And so when we deploy, actually, we've got client success directors that are responsible for helping clients figure out this is not just a technology application. You don't just turn it on and listen.
Yeah.
How do you actually put in the processes? How do you put together the measurement systems? How do you bolt on this intelligence application so you can really learn from it? Because what everybody wants is not just another tool. They actually want something that's really going to help them learn and change the organization.
And we were talking about this a little earlier, but that's one of the things that I think is really where the companies, they've been in this space for a while and they've been getting this type of feedback. I think that's what they're moving toward, what you were just saying. They're looking for ways to, okay, we've got all this massive amounts of intelligence and data. How can we use this internally and how can we make sure that it's getting to the right people?
Right.
What do you think about, how do you design processes around doing that?
Well, a lot of times it's figuring out who are the different stakeholders who are going to value data that's going to come out of these conversations. And so it can be as far and wide as people in legal, finance, product, engineering, customer service. So I think step one is figuring out who's going to need to understand all this information. Step two is figuring out what do they really need to know. And so is it that they go and they get the firebombs, which are there's a problem, somebody needs to respond. Is it that they're getting just an annual summary or a daily summary of here's what's happening? And then three is you create the systems and the reports. So we, through both our intelligence and then our just basic platform, have got a lot of this built in, which is if you identify, this is my product manager for cashmere sweaters. I want my product manager for cashmere sweaters to be able to look at this dashboard every day when they walk in. And they can basically see here are the trends of the conversations, the trends of the ratings, the involvement of the individuals.
Yep.
You can also, though, say, I also really want to make sure anytime that it's a 2-star review or lower, I need to make sure it goes to them right then.
Yeah.
So that they can react. So I think it's a matter of setting up both the ongoing and then the really proactive trigger responses in the organization. And a lot of our clients have done that really, really well. It's not impossible. It just takes effort. And I think, honestly, that's where a lot of people in social get overwhelmed. They turn on the ability to participate in the conversation, and they didn't realize, like, wow, it takes people to be involved
exactly.
in this. And that's one of the things that's the most powerful, though, is once that conversation starts flowing, you want to figure out how to extract every single nugget of value that you can.